This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
How much is foil is the right question. How much is foil? Is foil worth more than the banana? I do not know. It's my... You know, privileged status, I suppose, to not know the actual price of aluminum foil in the year 2024, but I do not. Probably under $5 for that long box. What do you think? You don't know either.
I don't know.
You're the one buying it to wrap all of those bananas.
But it lasts. It doesn't spoil the foil. Like it'll be there a long time. So
you don't reuse it.
No.
You might.
No, I don't.
Though. You could.
It's tough. After it's been, if it's on a bunch of 8 bananas and I'm using 2 or 3 at a time, by the time I'm done with the bananas, that foil is, you know, I'm barely holding it together.
Okay.
So That's
how I feel about the draft.
It's pretty done. Pretty done.
I'm barely holding it. Chris Trapasso, are you barely holding it together? How are you holding up, Chris? We got another week to go.
I'm holding up pretty well. And on this topic, my oldest daughter, Lucy, who's 6, she likes bananas that are like, closer to the green side than the yellow side. So I may take Bulldog's suggestion to try to keep them as, I guess, fresh or not ripe
right.
as long as possible.
It just slows the ripening process. So I like to buy them green, and hopefully if I use them through the week by Friday, they're still, you know, not that ripe.
I cannot have...
Good to know.
I cannot have this go unchecked. I'm sorry. It doesn't have to take the entire segment. Here's a way to avoid that happening. Eat them.
I'm not going to eat 8 bananas in a day.
But you have 4 people in your house. How many are in a bunch? Like 6?
Hardly anybody else eats them. I get them. Okay. Maybe they stay away from them because they know I want them for my protein shakes. And so
I love that.
I don't
Chris,
wanna,
I love that. Don't eat the bananas around dad.
I don't want to go to the store every other day, so I buy enough bananas for the week.
Okay.
And I like to keep them ripe, or not too ripe.
Learn something new every day, and yes. I did not know that previously, so that's good. Thank you, Bulldog.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Glad to be of service to you and the millions of people listening out there.
Another way to try to come up with a new angle here, talking about round one, the Bills, pick 28, wide receiver, where we often start. As maybe we're starting, I mean, you'll tell us, get precise with the mock drafts, you know, more leaks maybe, more information is known, perhaps, about what teams are planning on. Who are the teams, you're the Bills, you're Brandon Bean, you might think you have to trade up to get who you want. And you're willing to do it. Who are the teams we're worried about? Right, Chris? I mean, with as many wide receivers as there are, there could be several. I think one might, just for example, that might be interesting is Dallas at 24. I mean, these teams usually have other needs too. But who would be the teams, like the Bills themselves or a Bills fan is worried about basically sniping them?
Yeah, Dallas at 24 would make a lot of sense. They haven't really done a lot. They could use receiver even with CeeDee Lamb's extension kind of looming. I think the Cincinnati Bengals at 17, although if you look around, if you talk to Joe Goodberry, I don't know if you guys have had him on lately, but he's awesome, obviously, with the mm-hmm. Bengals. He's kind of lean on Twitter, like, oh, it's going to be defensive tackle or offensive tackle. But I think with the T. Higgins situation, it kind of feels like this is going to be his last year in Cincinnati. He's going to play on the franchise tag. Then they have to give Jamar Chase the monster contract. I could see Brian Thomas going to the Cincinnati Bengals and them just kind of keeping their fastball at receiver. And then even at 18, the Jacksonville Jaguars losing Calvin Ridley in the division to the Titans. I know they bring in Gabe Davis, but to have Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, and Zay Jones as their receivers, it's not really that much firepower for Trevor Lawrence. So those three teams, and maybe the Colts at 15, they could probably use someone alongside Michael Pittman. They drafted Josh Downs last year, who was great in the slot. Those three or four teams from, like, pick 15 to pick 24, you're going to kind of be holding your breath if you're Brandon Bean when those teams go on the clock to see if they don't pick a wide receiver.
Can I ask you maybe why not Pittsburgh for that list? And I'm thinking maybe you would add Pittsburgh, or maybe you think they're just going to do something else.
The reason why once in a while, and I think in my most recent mock, I did send Ryan Thomas to the Steelers, so that was a team that I didn't think of right away. Okay. It's because just of their history with waiting on wide receiver and how many good wide receivers they picked in the second round or later. And they did that with George Pickens. Now, there's not really a wide receiver that has the Pickens story, where Pickens didn't play in his final season that much, so that's kind of why he fell, but he felt like a first-round talent all the way leading up to that injury in his final season. But I think that's just an organization that certainly values that spot, and it is a relatively newer GM with Omar Khan. But I've mostly gone offensive line or cornerback for them, because those traditionally with that organization, that I think that is one of the organizations that you can look at just the franchise's history, because there's been so much stability at head coach and GMs have just been kind of brought up in house that I think they lean toward offensive line and defense more so than receiver in the first round.
How are you feeling in general about the class and there being a guy that either you like for the Bills or that you suspect the Bills would like for themselves at 28 if they don't go? Like, all this put together, I know your most recent mock today, I retweeted it this morning, you have them going way up for Neighbors, actually. You have falling beyond Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. But all that said, like, how reasonable is it to think Brandon Bean can just, I don't think he'll be sitting there with his arms folded, twiddling his thumbs, going like, I'm so bored right now waiting. But like, can they stay put and get a guy that you think they'll like or that you like?
I do. I think that player would probably be A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I know that with him, and I'm sure you guys have had a bunch of other analysts on talking about the wide receiver spot. With him, it's like there's some inconsistency on film where he doesn't finish routes. But if you watch more receivers today in college, if like they know that like it's a throw to the right side of the field or the quarterback's going to scramble and they're on the left side of the field, they're going to run the route. And then like 2 seconds later, if they don't feel anything coming their way, they just kind of throttle down. You see that with A.D. Mitchell. That's the one concern. Low yards per route run. That's somewhat of a concern too, because it really was the Xavier Worthy show there at Texas. But 6'2", low 4.3s, 40-inch vertical, fluidity through the roof at that size, I think that would be like the stick-and-pick wide receiver that I think they would like the most to, you know, be a big slot receiver, win down the seam on slot fades, or just play on the boundary, and probably someone that has his best football in front of him. I do agree. I think that Brandon Bean will be certainly antsy, and why I sent Neighbors to the Bills and had the Bills trading up. Peter Schrager had Malik Neighbors as the third receiver off the board, and what I thought was interesting about that, Peter Schrager is 50 times more plugged in than I am, but over the last week I had unsolicited a source tell me the same thing, that Neighbors, because of some of the off-field stuff, is going to be the third wide receiver off the board. Reached out to someone else to kind of corroborate that. They said that they had heard the same. So I thought, man, if Malik Neighbors just keeps falling, that's going to be like what you're kind of outlining there, that Bean is not going to be twiddling his thumbs. And if he falls to 8, 9, somewhere in that range, I think that he is so dynamic of a player and is exactly what the Bills need, that's where I could see him saying, all right, we love A.D. Mitchell, we like Ladd McConkey at 28, but, man, we would love to just trade up to get that dynamic of a player in Malik Nabers inside the top 10.
What is, as you know it, the off-field concern about Nabers?
That is a lot harder to get out of sources. They have kind of referenced to me that there are things, but they don't want to divulge those details. It's apparently from Tony Pauline was, like off the field, like partying. He had an incident or something with partying at Mardi Gras. And I'm like, if I was at LSU and I was a 21-year-old superstar at LSU, I'm going to Mardi Gras with my buddy Brian Thomas and Jaden Daniels and having a good time and not thinking anything of it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they're – don't hold me to that because maybe it will come out that he did something horrific there, but that has not come out yet. But also, too, what I think – what another source that told me that they had not heard that Nabers was going to go as the third receiver did say, I think what is playing into the Nabers stuff is that Harrison is going to check all the boxes, film, preparation, maturity, and so is Odunze. So it's more so comparing those two Nabers as opposed to just Nabers is this terrible guy. Like, that's not really the sense that I got.
Okay.
Allegedly, Nabers considers Meatballs Bill Murray's finest movie.
Mm.
Allegedly.
Dropping like a rock.
Wraps bananas in foil to save the dime. There are some character concerns. They ask those questions to the prospects, and that was just a red flag right there when that happened. What about the Giants as a team to pick Odunze or Nabers? I mean, a wide receiver at 6. There's quarterback speculation there. How strong is your lean that receiver might be what the Giants end up doing?
It's pretty strong, and that's more about just what I've gathered around the league and just at the combine, that if they're not able, obviously, to get up for a quarterback, that's where they will go. And I think for the longest time, we just wrote, all right, it's going to be Nabers. But for a lot of those reasons that I mentioned, that the character, like if the grades are close between Odunze and Nabers, that Nabers really checking all the boxes interview-wise and off the field might be the reason that he's the pick. What I will say on the Giants, to me, and this is just my own opinion, I have been stunned that we have not heard more about the Giants doing everything possible to move up 2 spots, maybe 3, to just get a quarterback. That if you're Joe Shane, you finally get this GM job, you're a young GM, you're Brian Daboll, you get your head coaching gig, and you just have Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. Like, this is their third draft. And I know that the Vikings have more ammunition, but it feels like if you're the Giants, if you're those two guys at the top of that organization, they should be doing everything possible to try to get one of these quarterbacks. You don't know if they're going to be amazing, but I think it would just be a shame if, like, the Giants are terrible again next year and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get fired because they just never took a swing at a quarterback in the draft.
You know, I like that you said all that. What could get them fired maybe isn't whether they take that swing. It's whether they win this year, you know, because they could do that. It makes for a very messy season is all. Like, if they love the guy, do it. Like, if they love Daniels or May, do it. Fine. And they might still. But it makes for a very messy season with Jones. I mean, Jones is also, like, I don't know, am I trying too hard here? When stuff comes out, like in defense of Daniel Jones, it comes right from ownership. You know, like, didn't he have like a carpenter or somebody, Mara, who was leaking about, I don't know. I don't know. I'm getting a little sideways here, but they might not be able to do that. They might do it anyway. They might be on the hook this year to win. And if that's the case, best player available, right? Like, that's Odunze.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that will probably align with their biggest need, which is wide receiver, and that it wouldn't be shocking if the Giants are like, hey, we have Rome Odunze as our 6th or 7th best player in this draft. Here he is. We couldn't get a quarterback. We have, you know, Daniel Jones on the books for this huge number this season. Let's just see what we can get out of him and maybe convince ownership, hey, we went 8-9 this year with terrible quarterback play, but Daniel Jones is off the books in 25, and we have a nice receiver group. The offense is improving. The roster is a little better.
One more year.
We need to have them keep their – yeah, one more year.
Right.
So maybe it's better for them to keep their job or to kind of petition that as their job. It would just be weird after spending the time in Buffalo and seeing how aggressive Brandon Bean was to get Josh Allen, who I'm sure Brandon Bean wasn't dead set and knew that Josh Allen was going to become an elite quarterback, but at least he took the swing. And it's just weird that, to me, that first 2 years, no quarterback, they extend Daniel Jones, and now, like, the team that we have heard probably the least amount of buzz about picking a quarterback and being aggressive to do so is the Giants sitting there at six.
Good point. With Chris Trapasso, we've talked a little bit, not to have this all be about receivers, as we spent so much time on that, and then now this Giants chat, which is interesting. Chop Robinson, one of the edge rushers, thought to go, perhaps at least in round one. 4 to 5 edge rushers in this first round. Are there one or more of these guys, Chris, where, again, hypothetically, the Bills don't trade, that they would have to take? You know, like maybe Robinson is more, say, if the receiver that they want is gone, okay, and we'll get our receiver later, something like that. Dallas Turner or someone else. Like, are there edge
UCLA
rushers?
UCLA kid, yeah, Latu.
Yeah, like who are the edge rushers where the Bills might be tempted?
I think any of the top four. Jared Verse is the only one that you guys didn't mention from Florida State. I know that you guys are aware of him. Your listeners are too. Those big four are really like, it's a super top-heavy edge rusher class. And it feels like that Dallas Turner will probably be a top 10 pick and the first edge rusher off the board. I don't know if that's set in stone. He's not like the consensus top edge. But any of those four with Latu, maybe not as much upside because he's almost 24 and he's just super polished already. The pass rush move arsenal, you saw it the last two seasons at UCLA, crazy productive. He's bigger. I think he's about as good as he's going to be in the NFL, and that's very good. With Chop Robinson, the reason why he is my edge one over Latu and over Jared Verse and Dallas Turner is that his pressure generation rate, I think I said this last week, was close to 20%. It was just below where Latu was. It was like 18.5% or 19%. And he's young, and the pass rush move arsenal is only starting to appear. It got better in his final season at Penn State and late in the year. And he just has that extra gear and bend around the corner that none of the other players have in that big four. So to me, I think that is what the Bills have needed. They've needed edge rushers who can get to the quarterback quicker and can win like Von Miller, like we saw in the early stages of 2022. That would be Chop Robinson, where even if an A.D. Mitchell or a Ladd McConkey or Xavier Worthy are still on the board, if that is accompanied by a Chop Robinson, don't be surprised if the Bills take almost all of their time to make that final decision when they're on the clock.
If they don't go with an edge player at 28, you've mentioned it's top heavy and it drops off. Like, what kind of business can they do? They only have the one pick as of now on Friday, pick 60, and then you're into Saturday. Like, what kind of chances do they have to find someone who can at least rotationally chip in? Because edge is a need on this team.
For sure. This might sound weird because I do think that it is a very sizable need, like you mentioned. If they don't go edge in the first round, and that's certainly not what I would suggest is plan one. I think, you know, plan A would be to go wide receiver. But I think if they don't go in the first round, they should just wait until the third day of the draft. Because the perceived to be second and third round edge rushers, I personally am not a huge fan of. There's Chris Braswell from Alabama, who's Dallas Turner's teammate. He's going to probably be gone in the early second round. The strength, the length, the pass rush moves are there. Marshawn Neyland is a name that I think Bills fans should kind of familiarize themselves with from Western Michigan. Big, long, super athletic, but just very raw with his hands. Was not very dominant at all. Pressure generation rate was like 12% in the MAC. So maybe you can tap into that, and we know the Bills have kind of leaned in that direction in the past. But beyond that, there's just in the middle portion of the draft from second to fourth round, not a lot of edge rushers that I think can be, like you're saying, that instant rotational piece. I think rolling the dice on someone fourth or with one of those three fifth round picks would make more sense. It's, you know, a lesser likelihood that becomes a really good player, but the Bills have certainly hit on those day three guys. And I just like some of those projecty types later than hoping that someone is going to be really good that they pick in the second or trading up into the third round.
Last thing real quick, there was a report of a visit. Cooper DeJean, is that how you say it? DeJean or DeJean?
DeJean, actually.
DeJean? Yep. Kind of an interesting player. safety. Maybe he gets moved or something in the secondary. Iowa, right? Do you have a favorite landing spot for him?
I'm trying to think where I've mocked him before. I mean, honestly, the Bills wouldn't be a bad spot because he really can do it all. He can play in the slot. He played on the perimeter at Iowa. He's a great tackler. He had his pro day just like last week, and it was a pro day, but he did test like an elite athlete. Great in coverage, gives you returnability. There's not really a favorite fit. I'm trying to think. It would be a teen in the late, mid to late 20s. That's where it kind of feels like he will go. I don't think he's spectacular in any area, but there's not a real clear flaw to his game. He's just a rock solid football player.
Okay.
All around.
What kind of an idea at 28, if he were there, would he be for the Bills to you?
It would depend on who's on the board. But if all the edge rushers are gone, if there's only maybe one or two of the major receivers left and they have a plan at receiver after, I would be fine with that because I think I wouldn't love it, but I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't think it's a monstrous reach. I think I have him graded right around where the Bills pick just because truly of how versatile he is. I'm a huge fan of the plus athletes, and he's certainly that. And again, I think it's vital, and Taron Johnson is so good in this. Open field tackling, that with him, he is amazing in that regard, that he's not going to miss a lot of tackles. So that would certainly help beyond what he can do in coverage.
You talk real quick here about his versatility. Is he someone you could see as a safety for this team right away, or is he a corner?
I think he can be a safety. I mean, we thought that with Christian Benford, but with DeJean, it's his instincts coupled with how quick he triggers to the football and then the ball skills that he showed at Iowa. A lot of pass breakups, a lot of interceptions. He feels like he could really be maximized under Sean McDermott, that already does so many different things and asks for his safeties to play in so many different alignments and different roles.
Mocked to Miami in your latest here.
Miami, okay.
21.
Yep, they need a corner, so that's a decent fit, too.
Much respect for the multiple trades here, the Bills, the Falcons, the Seahawks, moving around.
It's fun doing that. It's fun. Right. I want to see more of those.
I do too.
Actually happen.
What are we doing here on this planet if we're not going to mock trades in these drafts? I agree.
Exactly.
Thank you, Chris. One more time next week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. Over to you at home in your car. 803-0550, the draft in 8 days. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton in less than 40 minutes on Sabres locker cleanout, whatever might be the latest speculation about the coaching vacancy. And whatever else. Very interesting night in the NHL last night. Washington, is this a first? Clinching a playoff spot last game of the year at an empty net goal and a tie in regulation where the Flyers don't know that they're eliminated yet or whatever. But Washington gets that last spot. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after sports. 803-0550 to call in. This is WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.